listening to your show on the radio, and you seem like a friend to me.
This is Don Letts, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra. Stay tuned.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on Tuesday, March 8th. We're going to hear today from Capital Region-based singer, songwriter, and activist Tanya Alisi, and hear about her new music. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Patricia Doxey reports for the Daily Freeman that there are hundreds of charitable organizations collecting donations to help the Ukrainian people. But the situation has not surprisingly also created an opportunity for fraud. Quote, many New Yorkers are eager to do their part to help the Ukrainian people, but scammers often take advantage of crises to exploit our generosity and compassion, unquote, State Attorney General Letitia James said in a press release last week. At Woodland Pond in New Paltz recently, a number of the residents at the retirement community were targeted via email by scammers. Those efforts were thwarted by employees of the Sawyer Savings Bank after residents approached them looking to withdraw money from their accounts. Sawyer Savings Bank CEO Doug Sturges said, quote, they came in with the emails that basically were saying, quote, my relatives are in Ukraine and they don't have any access to money, but if you send the money to me, I can get it to them, unquote. Bank employees are urged that customers to instead work through a national organization if they want to donate money. Flyer has been distributed at the facility, advising residents to protect themselves by checking with staff or family members before sending any money, even if it seemed unkind to not respond to pleas for help. Ulster County District Attorney David Clegg said his office has not received any complaints about scams involving the Ukraine crisis to date. Read more about the story at the Daily Freeman.
This weekend, there were pro-peace anti-war rallies focused on Ukraine in Hudson, Albany, and Woodstock, and around the country. WNYT reported that hundreds of citizens turned out for a candlelight vigil in Hudson, March 6. The Reverend Janusz Jerzychowski of St. Nicholas Ukrainian Catholic Church in Hudson was at the vigil and talked with the television station.
We just try to do what our heart dictates us to do. And this is the most important, because I say the goodness and the evil always comes from the human hearts. And it spreads.
In Albany, the March 5th rally at Townsend Park was sponsored by the Green Party along with Bethlehem Neighbors for Peace. There, Peter Lavinia of New York's Green Party spoke, recorded by our partner station, WOOC.
Peter Lavinia, I'm co-chair of the Green Party in New York. I want to thank each of you for joining us today. When xenophobia, media propaganda, and war fever in the U.S. seem as powerful as they did in 2002 or 2003, the Green Party's a peace party. It's one of our key values. We stand apart from the Democrats and Republicans, who are mouthpieces of the military-industrial complex, and they are edging the world closer to nuclear conflict.
Photographs in the Daily Freeman also showed dozens rallying for peace in Ukraine on March 6.
Chloe Callahan reports for the Times Union that the Ulster County led the region in new Airbnb host income last year, with county homeowners who rented out their homes for the first time in 2021 collectively making more than $7 million. A 133% increase over 2019. It also represents a 6% share of the total new host market statewide. In the first 6 months of 2021, the Catskills and Hudson Valley region were among the top 10 most profitable areas for new hosts with one listing, according to an earlier report. New Airbnb hosts in Greene County, an especially popular skiing and snowboarding destination, earned more than $3.5 million collectively last year, while new hosts in Columbia and Sullivan made more than $2 million each. Dutchess, where there are many hotels and where more towns are considering short-term rental regulations, income levels for new Airbnb hosts remained flat at $1.5 million. New York ranked fourth nationwide among the top five most profitable states for new host income in 2021. Suffolk County, home of the Hamptons, is one of the state's biggest short-term rental markets, recording $17 million in new host income in 2021, nearly as much as the entire Hudson Valley region. California leads the nation in new host income, with Florida and Texas ranked second and third, respectively. According to market data from Stay Marquee, a vacation rental company, there are currently nearly 8,000 available vacation properties across 10 Hudson Valley counties. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that seven members of New York's congressional delegation are endorsing tuition assistance for people in prison. But Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko, who represent citizens locally, are not on the list to end a decades-long ban on tuition for prisoners. Representatives Richie Torres, Nydia Velazquez, Greg Meeks, Jamal Bowman, Grace Ming, Hakeem Jeffries, Carolyn Maloney, and Mondaire Jones are backing Governor Kathy Hochul's proposal to extend higher education courses for people in New York prisons. Proponents argue that reestablishing access for people in prison to the tuition assistance program would reduce recidivism, increase the job opportunities out of prison, and help narrow a racial inequity gap. The lawmakers in the letter they all signed said, and I quote, "Allowing incarcerated students to benefit from TAP is a long overdue and straightforward action that builds opportunity, promotes equity, strengthens democracy, and affirms our commitment to racial justice in New York State," end quote. Nationally, Congress has already lifted a ban on Pell Grant eligibility for people in prison after a 25-year ban. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that Republican State Senator Jim Tedesco is pressing the office of New York Inspector General Lucy Lang for an update on the investigation into the 2018 Schoharie limousine crash that killed 20 people. Tedesco urged the office to provide more details into the probe so lawmakers and a limousine safety commission could possibly craft further legislation and regulation if needed. Quote, "We're talking about a new administration, new transparency," unquote, Tedesco said. Quote, "I'd like the inspector general to tell me, did you complete that investigation? Did you not complete that investigation? Who was responsible for this? Was DOT responsible for this in some sense? Do we need more regulations?" Unquote. The probe into the state's handling, oversight, and potential responsibility for the crash has been underway for at least 1 year. Lange became inspector general in late 2021. Lee Park, a spokesperson for Lange, said, quote, "The matter is under review," unquote. Tedesco had requested the inquiry in 2021 after the National Transportation Safety Board found the State Department of Transportation and the Department of Motor Vehicles shared blame along with the owners of Prestige Limousine for not removing the vehicle from the road. Quote, "We have to get to the bottom of this and figure out those culpable and who caused this disaster," unquote, Tedesco said. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Sarah Trapton is reporting for Porcupine Soup that the first 30 seconds of a song on the Lumineers album features a 30-second solo from the Palinville Firehouse siren. Palinville Fire Department President Blake Garrison recently got a call from management for folk rock band the Lumineers asking for permission to use a recording of the firehouse siren on the song Remington on the band's new album Brightside. Garrison said of the Lumineers' founding member and lead vocalist, who has a home in the Catskills, and I quote, "Wesley Schultz was walking by our firehouse one day, and the fire siren goes off at noon, as it has every day for the last 70 years. He thought it had a really cool sound to it, so he recorded it with his iPhone," end quote. The song's lyrics also reference the sound, and I quote, "I woke up from the sleep of 100 days to the fire station bells," end quote, including in the song. Producer and Palinville resident Simon Felice, well known locally as a member of the Felice Brothers and a Palinville resident, produced the album. He said in a statement, and I quote, "The Catskill Mountains and the wild ghost of Rip Van Winkle and Henry Hudson's crew were definitely infused into the spirit of this album," end quote. Here's the first 30 seconds of the Lumineers' Remington, including the Palinville Firehouse siren. About this story at Porcupine Soup.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts that Tuesday should be mostly sunny, with a high near 36 and a low around 22. Wednesday there is a chance of snow before 1 p.m., 60% chance. Then it turns to rain, with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 38 and a low Wednesday night around 27. Thursday should be mostly sunny with a high of 47 and a low around 27. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Tuesday, March 8th, the WGXC Sustainable Pledge Drive continues. We're asking you to help WGXC become a sustainable part of the Hudson Valley media landscape by becoming a sustaining supporter of WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/donate. You can become a sustaining supporter, too, to help keep community radio on in the Hudson Valley and keep one sliver of the dial, 90.7 FM, open to local voices like Today on the radio, local voices include Corey McClaskin. At 10 a.m., his Forgotten Geek show focuses on entertainment news, reviews, music from the 80s, and more. At noon, we head to Ulster County, where Rob Saffer is live with a listen to Ornette Coleman through Others' Ear on his Overlooked show from noon to 2 p.m. We're live with Randall Martin on the WGXC afternoon show from Hudson at 4. And then we're live from Athens and Rhinebeck with Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda at 7 p.m. Jenny Getty and Amanda Lees talk about the latest movies. At 8 p.m., it's time for Crawl Out from the Fallout with Andy French in Hudson. And then Dan Seward is live from somewhere in Columbia County at 10 p.m. with the Battlefield Earth Show on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Niger guitarist Modour Maktour brings his band to the Colony Cafe in Woodstock on Monday, March 21st. Maktour is often compared to Prince and Eddie Van Halen for his renowned guitar playing, mostly on albums on the Sahel Sounds label. But his 2021 album, Afrique Victime, came out on the Matador label. He performs Monday, March 21st at 8 p.m. at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for more information about this and many other local events.
Hey, this is Andy, host of Crawl Out from the Fallout with Raven Sings the Blues right here on WGXE. The show is a monthly roundup of new offerings from the worlds of psych, indie, jangle pop, experimental music, and folk, bolstered with enough classic fodder to make them stick. I'm here with a reminder that it's pledge time here at the station from now through the end of March. WGXE is looking for enough sustaining supporters to help us do away with these pledge drives altogether. And we're super close. Just $1,200 more a month in our monthly sustaining budget, and we're there. If you head over to WGXC.org/donate, and for as little as $5 a month, or as much as you like per month, you can help WGXC stay on the air and support an exciting roster of programming, all coming to you commercial-free from the community of Hudson, Catskill, and beyond. Go donate now and tune into Crawl Out from the Fallout every second Tuesday of the month from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 8th. Early on this morning, we see elevation is having a big impact on temperature. 26 degrees in Mackey with similar temperatures up on the mountains and 35 degrees in Cheviot down on the ground. Light snow will drift across the region this morning, likely evaporating by noon. Gusty winds will be around all day, and a high of 41 degrees is expected at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 28 degrees. Then, tomorrow, snowfall will happen all day. About an inch and a half of snow is expected to fall by dark. Overnight, 28 degrees again. Then, a dry Thursday with a high of 48. Friday makes it to 50 before Saturday gets all rainy on us. Ushering in the spring season is the return of the river conditions. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 12:48 a.m., then high tide at 6:58 a.m. Low tide again at 1:36 p.m. and high tide once again at 7:28 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 35 degrees. Sunset today will be at 5:39 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see that an incoming coronal mass ejection could cause light geomagnetic interactions on Thursday. Solar wind speed is currently 439 kilometers per second at 4.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board all night. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 84. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the community around you. And if you would like to help out, head on over to WGXC.org, click on donate, and pour in the love. You will be glad you did.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of AJ of Whitestone, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Now, from Survival comes an economical do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved and easy to assemble. Takes just a weekend.
Get maximum protection from nuclear fallout for your family.
See a Survival shelter today.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron. You're listening to the radio. And if you'd like to keep listening to the radio, we'd like to ask you to become a sustaining supporter at WGXC. WGXC is a community radio station, which means it's made up of the voices of the community. People do their own shows here. People call in with questions. People participate on the radio in all sorts of ways. And that's what WGXC is all about. And one way you can participate is becoming a sustaining supporter at WGXC 90.7 FM. Go to WGXC.org/donate today. Become a sustaining supporter for just 17 cents a day, about $5 a month, and you can be one of the people chipping in to help your community. It's one way to do your part so that others have a voice, the teenagers on the air, the senior citizens on the air. The thing about WGXC, though, is you aren't going to like everything you hear. And that's a good thing. You get to overhear other tribes. You get to overhear people that are different from you, that were raised different from you, that have a different background, that have a whole different point of view on life. And everybody in the community gets to listen in on those conversations and those monologues and those expressions of what's important culturally and intellectually and in the news to them. And that's what WGXC is all about. So you're going to turn on sometime and you're going to hear a show that's talking about hunting, and you may be very against hunting. You're going to turn on the station sometime, and you're going to hear a news report about how the war in Ukraine shouldn't be happening, and there should be peace there. And you might think that the Ukrainians need to defend themselves from the Russians. There are many points of view that get aired on WGXC 90.7 FM, and you can have your own point of view and still listen to the points of view of others. And the same goes true with our music programming. You might be enjoying the jazz show you're listening to, and then when the bluegrass show comes on, that's not quite your thing. Or it could be the other way around. So you're going to hear all kinds of things, from death metal to free jazz to noise rock to local music. And you might not like some of it, but you might find some stuff that you've never heard before and didn't even know was possible to make those sorts of sounds. Or you might hear an old classic that you forgot about, and it used to be dear to your heart, and now it is again because some DJ on the radio at WGXC brought it back into your life. So if any of these kind of things happen to you when you listen to the radio, maybe you get information about a news story locally that you didn't know. Did you know that Columbia Memorial Hospital in Hudson doesn't do births anymore? They stopped a couple years ago. It's outrageous. If you're doing a home birth locally, you don't have a backup plan anymore. Your backup plan is 45 minutes or an hour and a half away. WGXC brings these kind of topics back up again and again locally in hopes that, you know, people might consider these sorts of important topics. And you might not always agree with the news coverage here. You might not always agree with someone who's a DJ or a programmer and what their political opinion is. You might not agree with the song they're playing. But boy, I hope you agree. They have a right to do it, and they have a right to say it. And it's really great that everybody on the radio here at WGXC gets to have their say, and you get to listen in. So I'm asking you today, we need you. We need one person, and it's you today, to become a sustaining supporter at WGXC 90.7 FM. Go to wgxc.org/donate. You can call 718-697-7400 if you want to go old school. However you want to do it, become a sustaining supporter today. 17 cents I don't know if there's anything I pay 17 cents for anymore. So I think maybe, hopefully most of us can spare 17 cents. And the ones that can't, pitch in a little more so somebody else is covered. Because some people are going through some hard times right now. It's been kind of a bad couple of years. So if you can do a little to help and a little to make a place in the Hudson Valley for local community conversation, an important media outlet that you want to keep a part of the media landscape in the Upper Hudson Valley as we lose more and more newspapers and more the TV coverage is made from Sinclair Broadcasting, from these corporations from out of the area that want to tell you what your local news is. WGXC isn't that. It's people locally reporting the local news, people locally interviewing the local newsmakers. So hopefully these are some reasons that you want to go to wgxc.org/donate today, become a sustaining supporter at Community Radio WGXC. It's a beautiful thing.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Safety for civilians in Ukraine is not a problem for Russian, because we're not bombarding them, but rather Ukrainian radicals and neo-Nazis who are holding hostage whole towns and cities and are making use of citizens as a human shield.
On day 12 of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Russia's UN ambassador denied its troops are preventing civilians from fleeing the violence. With reports of at least 400 civilian deaths, UN Security Council members called for a ceasefire and additional humanitarian corridors. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says 500 additional U.S. military support personnel are headed to the region.
We are not and will not send forces into Ukraine. So these additional personnel will be going to NATO's eastern flanks.
In a new poll, 82% of Ukrainians believe the country can repel Russia's attacks. 63% of respondents believe the country's armed forces are behind the nation's strength, while 58% said military support from the West would be key to victory. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin is among lawmakers from both sides of the aisle calling for a ban on Russian oil imports to further tighten economic pressure.
How can we possibly be importing Russian oil and gas, giving the profits of those transactions to Vladimir Putin to pay for his war machine?
There are concerns such a ban would send gas prices, now averaging $4.10 a gallon, even higher. Meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris made the case for the transition to green energy.
We are all in the midst of a turning point. We have the technology to transition to a zero-emission fleet. Our administration, together, all of us, is working to make that possibility a reality.
The White House is awarding more than $2 billion in COVID relief funding to help struggling transit agencies and another $1.5 billion for the purchase of low or no emission buses. The U.S. Supreme Court denied requests from Pennsylvania and North Carolina Republicans who wanted lower court rulings over GOP-drawn voting maps thrown out. The challengers argued state legislatures should have precedence over state courts to determine the process for federal elections. Hundreds of truckers who want the national emergency declaration for COVID canceled circled the Capitol Beltway for a second day but did not cause any major disruptions. Brian Brossi with the People's Convoy urged the group to stay out of the city.
I have to worry about the safety of each and every single one of you, and I don't want that on my conscience that I brought people down there and bad stuff happened.
And a D.C. magistrate judge cautioned the Justice Department it might be trampling on the rights of January 6 defendants. The comments came during the trial of a Texas man who the judge said had languished in custody for 6 weeks due to the massive scope of the federal investigation. More than 750 people have been charged. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC in Acre with this week's WGXC Congressional Report, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives and candidates for the 19th and 20th congressional seats in New York. Current Democratic Representatives Antonio Delgado and Paul Tonko vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. On March 2nd, Representative Antonio Delgado held a tele-town hall meeting, answering questions from constituents over the phone. Here's an excerpt of the questioning.
Next, we have, looks like, Penelope from Ulster. Are you there, Penelope?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Penelope.
So I wondered what, if anything, your office is doing about the outrageous hikes in charges from Central Hudson.
Yes, we are very, very aware of this dynamic. We have heard it from many, many constituents who are dealing with these larger bills at a time when we already have rising costs across all industries. And so people are really, really stretched. And, you know, this also includes, you know, seniors on fixed incomes, families with newborns who are facing financial hardships. You know, without proper financial forecasting and clear communication to customers, or the reality is customers are not able to properly budget for these rate increases. I have been engaged. We wrote a letter directly to Central Hudson calling on them to abandon these drastic rate hikes. We will continue to engage with them on this issue and continue to elevate, you know, the concerns of our constituents, of my constituents. You know, this is a really, really difficult time, and the last thing we need are for companies or organizations, an attitude, if you will, of exploitation, where people are seeking to make the most out of a situation unnecessarily. And so we are very, very much engaged on this, Penelope, and will continue to be so. Looks like next we have Carolyn from Green.
Yes. Hello.
How are you doing? Yes.
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well.
So my question is, I am representing 70-plus disabled seniors living in Prattsville, and a lot of us come from places like myself, from Woodstock and Rhinebeck, and places where we were forced to move out here because we could no longer afford to stay in our hometowns because our SSI was very low. We are struggling to pay rent and utilities on $800 or less a month. And my question is there going to be any help for disabled seniors on SSI? Because we were told when the president came in that we were not going to be forgotten, and yet we've been sitting and waiting day after day for a long time now for help, and it seems like everyone else is getting help.
Well, Carolyn, I certainly appreciate your question and understand, you know, your concern. It's important that we do all we can to step up and help those who are dealing with this issue. I think, you know, as we've gone through so much with the pandemic and tried to figure out the best way to support people, you know, it's become clear that some of the most vulnerable, nonetheless, are been left behind and have not been accounted for. And it's incumbent that we do all we can to do that, to step up and meet people where they are. And so, you know, as it pertains to this particular issue, you know, providing access to affordable housing is critical. You know, we've seen home prices having risen at least twice the rate of wages since 1960. And as a result, you know, about 18 million U.S. households spend more than half of their income on housing. I'm deeply concerned by the burden this has placed on so many American families. And I'm certainly very committed to figuring out how we can address it. It's been particularly devastating, COVID has, for our seniors and for older Americans. And rising prices have been especially difficult for seniors on a fixed income. Now is certainly not the time to raise healthcare costs for seniors. Families and seniors deserve access to lower cost prescription drugs and healthcare costs, and access to quality, dependable care. And you know, we know that Biden has spoken publicly in favor of boosting SSI benefits for seniors, and I certainly would support these efforts as they unfold. You may have seen that Medicare Part B premiums were set to rise, or have been set to rise, by nearly 15% in 2022. This is unacceptable. That's why I called on the Department of Health and Human Services to take action to lower Medicare premiums for seniors. And I'm glad that after our letter, there was an announcement from the HHS that would be reexamining this price hike. So I'm certainly focused on this issue. And Carolyn, I want you to know we're going to continue to focus on this to make sure that no one is left behind as we continue to navigate these very challenging times.
That was an excerpt of Representative Antonio Delgado answering questions at a teletown hall meeting on March 2nd. This has been the WGXC Congressional Report. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything in this report.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine by Taina Asili, Capital Region singer, songwriter, cultural activist, multi-talented person. Taina, it's great to have you with us again. What have you been up to?
I've actually been up to quite a lot. Of course, we're in the midst of this pandemic, so performances have been less than usual. But thankfully, that's given me a lot of opportunity and time to songwrite and create new songs. And so I have a number of projects cooking up. But one of the projects that I'm most proud of and about to release is a project that I'm working on with the Social Justice Portal Project, which is a movement-centered collaborative think tank out of the University of Illinois at Chicago's Social Justice Initiative. And so I have been working with them on creating a series of songs and music video documentaries. The first of which is called Abolition. The second two coming out will be one on climate justice and another one on economic democracy. But the Abolition one is the one that I'm most excited to share, and that is coming out on Thursday, March 3rd. And we are getting ready to release the documentary for it. But the song itself is out right now on all digital and streaming platforms, and I'm super excited about it.
So tell us a bit about this. How did you end up in touch with the Social Justice Portal? Illinois is a long way from the Capital Region. How did that happen?
It is. It's actually an interesting story. I was at John Brown's farm for an event, which is in upstate New York, as you know, and Dr. Barbara Ransby was being given an award by John Brown's farm, and I was invited to come and perform. And her and I connected. And of course, she's a renowned writer, a historian, educator. She's a brilliant person. And we really clicked. And later on, as it happens, Barbara was bringing together this incredible group of fellows and artists to work on this think tank and invited me to be the artist in residence for this project. So I started in the summer with three interviews. So I went down to DC, interviewed two people. One is Derica Purnell, who was featured in the documentary, who, by the way, just came out with a book called Becoming Abolitionist. The other person was Graisa Martinez Rosas, who is the executive director of United We Dream. And then I interviewed via Zoom through distance with another one of our interviewees, Aislinn Pulley, and got to weave all of their stories, their experiences, their wisdom into this documentary. And from that, and from the wisdom of other fellows who are part of this work, including Angela Davis, whose words and voice are also featured in the documentary, I created a song that sort of speaks to the conversation and the movement around abolition, and later edited it all into a documentary.
So was it your idea to segment these documentaries and songs into the categories of or the topics of abolition? Yeah. Abolition and climate justice, economic democracy?
Correct. And no, it wasn't my idea. It's actually something that it's conversations that are happening as a part of that think tank, as a part of the Portal Project. So there are conversations that are happening amongst these incredible thought leaders, activists, etc., including folks like Angela Davis, Naomi Klein, and our own Barbara Smith and Dr. Ransby and so many others, having these conversations to talk about these topics. So this is sort of an extension or reflection, an opportunity to also, you know, as like sort of a place for us to start thinking about it. So it's like a invitation to through art to think deeply about these topics. So that's the purpose of it. But no, this is a part of a larger vision of the Portal Project.
You're listening to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. We have Taina Asili here. She's talking about a new project, a song and documentary series, the first of which is called Abolition. Tell us about Abolition. What did you come up with through your research?
Well, as you probably know, I have been involved in work around ending mass incarceration, prisoner justice, for over 20 years. My work started with the work to free political prisoners such as former Black Panthers, Young Lords, Puerto Rican political prisoners, political prisoners like Leonard Peltier of the American Indian Movement. So that was sort of where my journey happened. But I also have been involved here locally with the New York State Prisoner Justice Network, Capital Area Against Mass Incarceration, and many other organizations, both locally and nationally, working with them. So I brought, for starters, and also as somebody who has family members who are formerly incarcerated, right? Black men who are formerly incarcerated. So I brought, first and foremost, my own voice, my own thought, my own experience into this. But I think the idea of it, you know, when we think about abolition, and one of our interviewees speaks on this so beautifully, you know, she says, Derica Purnell says, we think about it as the absence of something, you know, the absence of police or the absence of prisons. But really what we wanted to lift up in this song and in this documentary is what exists in its place, right? What do we create as in that absence, what fertile ground now exists for us to be able to build and create new systems, new institutions, new ways of living, thinking, and being on this planet that honor our humanity, our equality, and our full human experience, right? So, you know, we highlight in the song, I highlight a lot of different things because abolition it's really a much more holistic thing than just, like I said, thinking about police and prisons. You know, I think of, I'm a board chair of Soulfire Farm, which I've been involved with since its inception. When I think about abolition, I think about food sovereignty. I think about, you know, food justice. You know, when I think about abolition, you know, I think about art and creation and the opportunity to create art and to build with art. So some of these different things, these different pieces are included in the song, and also the documentary, as I mentioned, has sort of like a music video component at the beginning. So you'll see visual clips of some of these examples of alternatives to police and prisons and ways that we can build. But to be honest, this is just the beginning, right? Like when we're thinking about abolition, it's an opportunity or an invitation for us to use our creativity to think about making something new. And, you know, something else interesting, Steve, that I learned through this process that I wanted to share as someone, and I know you are someone who thinks a lot about creativity too, you know, the imagination was something that Derica Purnell spoke about so beautifully, and as did some of the other interviewees. And one of the things that she said was that that she used to think of imagination as something, you know, beautiful, something that children do. I'm paraphrasing here from the documentary, but, you know, what she was saying was that actually it's quite neutral, that these systems of oppression imagine all these ways to oppress us on a regular basis, and that we too have that opportunity and that possibility within us. And I would add to that human birthright that is our creative power and potential to be able to think of new ways of living and being in with justice at its center and its core.
Wow, it's incredible to talk about this in the context of popular music, because it's just so much going on beneath the surface. It sounds like an amazing process you went through. We don't have a lot more time, so we can't even really touch on the upcoming segments on climate justice and economic democracy. But for folks who want to find the song and who want to find the documentary, where can they find it?
Well, you can always go to my website, tainaseely.com. and all of the social platforms, TikTok even. So you'll be able to find links to it. And you can also look up the Social Justice Portal Project. I believe it's the socialjusticeportalproject.com, where you can find out more information about what's going on in that work. And on there as well, I have Spotify playlist to go along with it about abolition. So you get to hear not only this song, but so many other songs that speak to that theme as well.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for being with us today, Taina Asili.
Thank you for having me.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. La lluvia cae, el río nos guía. La lluvia cae, el río nos guía. La lluvia cae, el río nos guía. La lluvia cae. Para guiarnos.
That was Resiliencia from Albany, New York singer-songwriter Tanya Asili from her 2019 album of the same title.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On March 10, 1880, the Salvation Army was founded in the United States. The social service organization was first founded in England by William Booth and operates today in 90 countries. On March 12, 1888, the Great Blizzard of 88 struck the northeastern U.S. The storm lasted 36 hours, with snowfall totaling over 40 inches in New York City, where over 400 persons died from the surprise storm. On March 15, 44 B.C., Julius Caesar was assassinated in the Senate chamber in Rome by Brutus and fellow conspirators. On March 17, St. Patrick's Day is celebrated, commemorating the patron saint of Ireland. On March 19, 2003, the United States launched an attack against Iraq to topple dictator Saddam Hussein from power. The troops made rapid progress northward and conquered the country's capital, Baghdad, in just 21 days. On March 23, 1775, Patrick Henry ignited the American Revolution with a speech before the Virginia Convention in Richmond, stating, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." On March 27, 1977, the worst accident in the history of civil aviation occurred as two Boeing 747s collided on the ground in the Canary Islands, resulting in 570 deaths. On March 30, 1853, the painter Vincent van Gogh was born in Groot Zoendert, Holland. On March 31, 1968, President Lyndon Johnson made a surprise announcement that he would not seek re-election as a result of the Vietnam conflict. You have been listening.